You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 309.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Howdy, Kevin.
Hi, I think we're doing a goofy little show today.
I think we are.
That's the plan, and I want to get this going right now. Let's jump right into it. How about National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
I picked National Food Day. I've been trying to go sparingly on the National Food Days.
It's kinda been a while, I think.
Kind of like a National Food Day diet, if you will, because I just don't want there to be, like, overload on the foods.
I think we went through a phase where there were too many food days, but we're spacing them out a little better now.
Yes.
I know there was a Nutella Day, but that was several weeks ago.
Yes.
What's going on this week?
Food I really like is being celebrated on April 12th. It is National Grilled Cheese Day.
Okay.
Can't knock a grilled cheese. And I do love a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Hit me with some weird, startling information that I don't know about the grilled cheese sandwich.
Whenever I think of grilled cheese, I think back to those days in the cafeteria in middle school.
Mm.
I don't know if your school ever served grilled cheese for hot lunch.
You know, not that I remember.
Ah.
We seem to always get just like weird things that could just be glopped into a little container as opposed to a sandwich type item. Because as you may recall, we had what they called the satellite lunch program.
Oh, yes.
We've discussed this.
Yes.
Where the weird little school that I went to, our lunches were prepared across town at the high school. And then they'd pack them up like in these little weird foil packs and then truck them across town to my dopey little school. And thus, it was called the satellite lunch program.
Yes, your school lunches were a story unto themselves.
Yeah, I think sandwiches were off the menu.
Very interesting.
Yeah. No grilling going on.
I haven't talked much about my grade school, junior high, and high school lunchroom experiences, but I was fortunate throughout all those years for there to be a kitchen on site. And
as most schools.
Right. Well, I thought I went to a pretty rinky-dink school. I went to a very, very small.
From my perspective, it's like, wow, you had a kitchen.
Our grade school was so small that the year I was supposed to go into eighth grade, the school closed because not enough students were enrolled.
Yeah,
I had to go to a different school for eighth grade.
Well, not to brag, but we could trade back and forth shot for shot over whose school was more pathetic. I went to that school, which had no kitchen, had no cafeteria. Then I went to another school, my next school, my junior high, also no kitchen, no cafeteria.
Wow.
Thank you.
Because they just don't believe in food where you went to school. But there is always hot lunch where I went to school, and the grilled cheese sandwiches were particularly memorable.
Mm.
And what I remember is that the kids would order the grilled cheese sandwiches, come out of the lunch line, put their tray down, and then one kid would grab one half of the sandwich, and another kid would grab the other end of the sandwich, and they'd stretch it out as far as they could to see who could get the longest gap. See that how far the cheese would stretch out. I'm pretty sure that some sort of strange foreign super cheese was used because they literally stretch it across the
some
room.
Some kind of a space age polymer was involved.
Yes, to make the cheese do
all the way. And then would a kid like run through the middle and try to break through?
I wish we probably would have gotten.
That would have been something. You play the Chariots of Fire theme song.
Would have been great. Somehow we didn't get in trouble for stretching grilled cheese sandwiches across the room, but
I'm suddenly so glad that I did not have a cafeteria. Look at the disgusting antics I was missing out on.
I think somebody would have gotten in trouble if they had gone like running through the cheese strand.
I can't believe no one did that. Do I have to think of everything?
Well, yes. I didn't go to school with very interesting kids.
I could only dream of doing something like that.
It would have been so far out. I would have loved school so much more if somebody had gone running through the cheese strand. So I never dined on those grilled cheese sandwiches myself, but I have enjoyed probably more than my fair share of grilled cheese sandwiches over the years. I think it's the first thing I learned to make with a frying pan.
I don't know if I've ever made one.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't even know you anymore. Yeah, I do not recall ever cooking such an item.
The more I learn about you, the stranger you are.
Well, I certainly wasn't learning about them at school, was I?
No.
All right, well, happy grilled cheese sandwich day.
Thank
you. To you and your weird, disgusting friends who would pull them apart.
They weren't my friends.
All right, you know, Cornflake, what I wanted to talk about today... I've been thinking about Dynamite magazine.
Yeah, I remember back in the day.
I think we've mentioned Dynamite on the show once or twice. How could we not?
There are a lot of fond memories of Dynamite.
Yeah, I was a fan of Dynamite, and I don't remember having a giant collection of Dynamite magazines when I was a kid, but I certainly got my hands on a few here and there. And you know Dynamite.
Right, you get them through the school book club, right?
Usually you'd get them through the school book club, yeah, the Troll book club, the Arrow book club. Man, the school book club was the best.
It was. You think they have that in the schools these days?
That's an excellent question. I have no idea if the book club still exists.
I'm going to find that out.
Not only do I not know, but I feel like we have wondered about this on the Flopcast before, and I don't remember if we came up with an answer or not.
I'm horrified to consider that they might have some electronic version of it that just wouldn't be the same as getting that little booklet that you could, like, pick your books from.
Yeah, and get, like, a little newsletter kind of thing.
Circle the ones you wanted.
Right. It's like, these books cost 65 cents. If you order $3 worth of books, you get a poster of a cat.
I remember that.
And they also had Dynamite magazine. They had Bananas magazine. They had Dynamite magazine. And I think Bananas was more like jokes for the kids.
Yes.
And Dynamite was more pop culture stuff would be more in Dynamite.
It's all coming together now.
Bananas was more just silly joke stuff, which Dynamite had plenty of silly joke stuff in it as well.
But Dynamite bordered on, like, cool teen magazine.
Just barely. I think it was kids pretending that they were teenagers by reading Dynamite magazine. Whereas real teens were probably reading something else. I don't know what. Tiger Beat. Tiger Beat. So I was looking up Dynamite magazine recently because I knew a little bit about Dynamite. One thing I knew already is that Dynamite was created by a woman named Jeanette Kahn. And she did not stick around with Dynamite for long, but this was her creation. A couple years after that, she became the publisher of DC Comics.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she was put in charge of DC. In fact, they fired Carmine Infantino.
And put her in
and
charge.
And replaced Carmine, you know, classic artist, you know, Carmine Infantino from The Flash and all that. Then he was running DC Comics in the mid-70s. And Jeanette was a kid. She was in her 20s.
Yeah.
But she was considered this brilliant children's publisher.
An ingenue, if you will.
Yeah, because DC was considered children's publishing. And they put Jeanette in charge, which just must have seemed so crazy at the time, especially to all these old editors and all the guys in publishing. These were all like middle-aged and old guys who'd been in comic books for decades.
Yeah, they must have been flabbergasted.
Yeah, just this young woman in her 20s, suddenly she meet the new boss. And now that said, she was great.
Yeah.
And she ran DC Comics for decades after that. Anyway, back to Dynamite. Dynamite just kept chugging along without Jeanette.
It did okay.
It did great, and it lasted a lot longer than I thought. Dynamite started in 1974, and I would have guessed, if you'd asked me, I would have guessed that by the mid-80s it was done.
But?
Dynamite lasted until 1992.
Nice.
I had no idea. So over the course of its entire run, there were 165 issues of Dynamite magazine.
Neat.
So I've had a few of these for some years now, but I just picked up a bunch more recently. I happened to find a big stash of Dynamite magazines just crazy cheap, so I couldn't resist.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a bunch of them now. We've got about 50 of them here in the studio. So I grabbed an issue of Dynamite because I thought it might be fun to flip through an issue of Dynamite magazine here on the show.
I would agree.
Somebody's got to do it. And look at the one that I started out with. I grabbed this issue. This is one of the oldest issues that I have. This is from 1976. This is Dynamite number 22. And how could I resist this cover, which is captioned, face-to-face with Fonzie.
It's got Henry Winkler on it.
There's Henry as the Fonz right on the cover.
Looking so cool. Looking, like, he doesn't have a big grin like you might expect somebody to have for a photo. He's looking like the Fonz. He's all business.
Serious, intense Fonzie on the cover of Dynamite. So let's flip this thing open and just go and see what's inside, you know? Because I'm guessing it's been a long time since you actually looked inside an issue of Dynamite.
Yes. So, and I know this is one that I've never seen before.
Well, yeah, you weren't even born when they made this one. Let's get right into this. And here is our cover story, face-to-face with Fonzie. And there's Henry Winkler still looking very intense on the inside.
Okay, here's what I love about this. On the left side, it's Fonz looking like Fonz, but on the right side is a guy that I would not guess is the Fonz unless you told me.
Yeah.
It's the Fonz, it's just Henry Winkler, and he's like holding a German Shepherd puppy. Yeah. He's licking his face, and it's adorable.
First glance, you wouldn't even recognize him as the Fonz.
Yeah. Particularly with the lightened hair.
Yeah, he's got more of a lighter 70s Hardy Boys type of hair as Henry Winkler. Henry got 7,000 fan letters a month.
Yes.
In 1976, according to this article. I don't think I wrote any of those.
Me neither.
But I was certainly a fan back then. Here's a picture from the show. There's Henry and Donnie Most, Anson Williams, and Ron Howard all together, the classic four.
What a great picture of them.
There they are at Arnold's. I have a whole book about the Fonz.
You don't say.
I do. I found it at a library book sale many years ago, but it's a book that came from one of these school book clubs. It's called The Truth About Fonzie.
Were you really surprised by the contents of it?
The shocking truth, yeah.
I can't imagine there'd be something earth-shattering about it.
Yeah, it's inside. You open it up, it's like one page. It says, yeah, he's a really nice guy. Yeah,
exactly, because that's the truth about him.
That's about it. Then we go to Kids Through the Ages is a weird photo feature that comes up next. This is probably inspired by Happy Days being set back in the 50s.
Okay.
So now they show what kids were like in the 20s. They go decade by decade.
They look like little adults.
Those are some disturbing looking kids there. Fads like yo-yos, roller skating, and crossword puzzles got started in the 20s, according to this article.
Wow. And those are the things that I was interested in. In the 90s.
I never thought of the crossword puzzle as a fad, but maybe in the 20s, it was all the rage. I think the adults like thought it was destroying the youth of America. These dangerous, satanic...
kids in their crossword puzzles.
You read the crossword puzzles backwards, it's a message from the devil, you know. Oh, yeah. Now, it looks like they just skip the 30s and the 40s and jump right to the 50s on the next page. So here's a couple of kids dressed up like they're in the 50s. Sort of like Happy Days type kids. They look ridiculous.
Yeah, they do. So these kids don't look natural at all.
Then it just kind of whines about Elvis Presley and malt shops and jukeboxes. This was in the 70s, like 50s nostalgia was huge. Obviously, Happy Days was a big part of that. But that's when Sha Na Na was out in Greece.
Right.
And, 50s nostalgia was popping back then. Here we have the 60s kids. Look at these filthy hippies.
Hippie kids.
It's like kids dressed up as hippies for Halloween.
I remembered some school dances where the theme was hippies.
Really?
We all dressed like that.
60s hippie-themed dances.
Yep.
I would have jumped right out the window.
I probably should have.
At the end of this, it says, what will the 70s bring? That's up to you. You are a 70s kid.
That is a lot of power to put in the hands of the youth.
A lot of pressure.
With their satanic crossword puzzles.
A lot of pressure on the readers of Dynamite.
Yes.
Here's a big article about skateboarding.
Oh, cool.
This is when skateboarding was becoming big. This article, it says that skateboarding started in the mid-60s, but just as a very brief fad. Then it disappeared for about a decade and then came raging back in the mid-70s.
No helmets on these kids.
No, no, no. We want a 1970s-style concussion. They look like they're having fun, though.
They do.
I've done very little skateboarding in my time.
Did I ever tell you about the skateboarding kids in the neighborhood where I grew up?
Perhaps. Tell me more.
I could not get the hang of skateboarding, but I wanted to, you know, get around. I couldn't drive, so I did a lot of roller skating. And I wasn't much better at roller skating. I was pretty clumsy with that, too. But
you roller skated to get around?
Yes, I did.
You were trying to use roller skating just as a means of transportation?
I did.
You'd skate around town?
Yes.
Wow.
This is weird. The other kids
were... I'm going to say, that's weird.
Well, I couldn't skateboard. So I picked the next best thing with wheels, which seemed to be roller skating.
I feel like you never see people just roller skating to get somewhere.
Is that why everyone was making fun of me?
Yeah. There's like that naked dude on Bob's Burgers who's just roller skating around the town, you know? One of these days we're going to do a whole show about roller skating.
It's awesome.
It's on the list. Here's some freaky animals.
Oh, what junior high kid doesn't love some animals?
It says Brook Farm, Home Sweet Zoo.
Is that an alpaca?
I think that's an alpaca. They don't provide a caption, by the way. And I read this thing. There's no mention of this animal at all. But I think that's an alpaca. A caption would have been nice.
It's some sort of furry beast with a snout.
Yes, it's something. And this is an article about, it's not about a zoo. It's about an animal sanctuary in Colts Neck, New Jersey, where they take in, like, abandoned and injured animals of all sorts. So that's nice.
That is cool.
They started taking in all kinds of animals, using some of them for TV or movie work so that we could make enough money to feed the rest of the animals. All right, so some of these animals...
They get kind of pimped out.
Pimped out to Hollywood. This might have been where Mr. Smith came from, the talking orangutan of the early 80s. I don't know. So nice. If you have any weird animals, send them to New Jersey.
Yeah.
All right, next page we have...
Magic wand is handy dandy trick.
This was an ongoing feature, I think, in Dynamite.
They teach kids magic tricks.
Now, there's this, like, 70s chick in the photo.
What is she wearing on her head?
A hat?
Okay.
I have so much to teach you about the 70s. Now, anyway, I read this trick earlier today, and it's a pretty basic disappearing coin trick, which I don't think would work.
Oh.
And I wish I had video footage of children of the 70s trying to perform this trick for their friends and failing miserably.
Do you think anyone get hurt?
Because Magic Wanda, yeah, I don't think anybody took a coin to the eye or anything.
Okay, that's good.
I think they're all protected by their hats, which was a weird thing that people wore in the 70s.
But you gotta put hats in air quotes. That does not look like a hat.
I guess you're right. It is a weird floppy hat. But in describing this coin disappearing trick, Magic Wanda kind of tap dances over the part where you would have to pull a pretty fancy sleight of hand move, which I don't think the kids could really do. So I'm not buying it. This is a horrible trick which could not actually be done unless you really knew what you were doing. In which case, you're not learning tricks out of Dynamite magazine.
She's hiding it in her so-called hat, is what she's doing.
Do you know any magic tricks? Can you do any magic?
I could do card tricks for a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But not anymore?
I might be able to do it if you handed me a deck of cards, okay. But don't count on it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I can do two or three tricks. I can do one really good trick. I've got two that are okay. One or two that are okay. One that's really good.
You can make this show sound good.
I'm going to make the show disappear. The ultimate trick. Anyway, in the middle now, the centerfold, if you will, of the Dynamite magazine, it's a calendar. We've got a big double spread. This is April 1976. This is 42 years ago.
It kind of looks like a calendar meets a bingo card.
It's very silly with wacky cartoons and stuff, but there's actually a lot of National Whatever Day
style
entries.
So Dynamite knew it was cool long before we ever thought of
it. Yeah. Harry Houdini's birthday is in here. National Hostility Week. See, that sounds like our kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some sort of a frog jumping competition listed here.
Oh, like from Mark Twain, Calaveras County?
Yeah. Here's a local thing, the Boston Marathon.
Oh, nice.
Is on the calendar. So there you go. If we ever go back to 1976, April is all mapped out for us here.
Perfect.
We also mark the birthday of Ron Palillo, who played Horshack on Welcome Back, Kotter. And it includes the address of ABC in Los Angeles if you want to send him a birthday card.
I wonder how many kids did that.
I also have an address for Lee Majors' birthday, $6 million man.
That's cool.
All right, we got to move. Here is a two-page article about Madame Tussauds' Wax Museum. That's weird.
Yeah.
Somebody from Dynamite must have wanted to go to England.
Yep.
So here's an article all about the wax museum. Have you been to a wax museum?
Nope.
I think I have been. I was in Florida, in Orlando, and I believe we went to a wax museum.
I kind of think wax museums are creepy.
Why would you say that?
It's their complexions.
All right, here's the hot stuff section. This is a two-page section about all kinds of miscellaneous junk. They tell you about the amazing new invention of Nerf basketball. You know, you hang up the hoop, like, over your door.
Yeah.
And you got your little Nerf basketball.
It's the ball you can play with indoors without breaking anything. Like mom's favorite vase.
Yeah, I've played more than my fair share of Nerf basketball. It's horrible.
Yep.
There's something about the National Wildlife Federation and how we're trying to preserve wildlife. And if you want to help preserve wildlife, I'm not sure how this helps, but you can write to the National Wildlife Federation. And they'll send you a poster of a duck.
Do you remember the commercials about writing to the National Wildlife Federation? There were ones with Kermit the Frog.
Oh, yeah, so. I do remember that.
And he'd give the address and you could write.
Well, here you can send away for a free poster and stickers. How's that helping? Aren't we just burning through more paper? You have to send them a letter, then they send you a poster back?
They send you stuff, but I think it's to get you on the mailing list so that they can send you reminders to care.
They start hitting you up for donations.
Yeah.
And they don't realize they're communicating with 7-year-olds who got their address out of Dynamite magazine.
Starting them early.
There's a little thing here teaching you how you can chop on wintergreen lifesavers in the dark to see the spark.
Was that a real thing?
Yeah, that's for real.
Wow.
It says right here in the article, Dynamite magazine tested this personally and have confirmed it really works.
Well, this is the same magazine that tried to pawn off this magic trick on kids. So I don't know if I believe them.
This could all be lies.
How many busted teeth occurred?
I don't think I've ever actually tried that wintergreen lifesaver thing.
I did.
I've been reading about it for decades. Did you try it?
I did.
Why are you asking me if it really works? You would know better than me.
I did it wrong.
You had your eyes closed?
No, I used peppermint.
Oh, so many ways that could go wrong.
Exactly.
Now we have a thing here, a trick you can do with your friend. All right, stand face to face, so close that your noses touch. This better be a good friend. Now look into your friend's eyes. You should see one big eye. Cornflake, are you starting to appreciate how starved for entertainment we were in the mid-70s? This is what magazines were suggesting that we do. Look at that. There's even a little freaky illustration of a horrifying Cyclops monster wearing a propeller beanie. This is very disturbing. Okay, let's not do that. Look at that. Some comic book pages in here after that. They must have cut some kind of a deal with the weasels over at Marvel Comics, because they've got 2 pages of a Daredevil comic book, and it looks like these were just... They didn't make these for Dynamite. It looks like these were pulled out of an existing Marvel comic book, and there's Daredevil.
Those are some pretty cool-looking comics.
It looks good, and that's the Black Widow making a little tiny cameo appearance at the bottom there. You know, Scarlett Johansson these days in
yes.
the Avengers movies. That's Black Widow.
In fact, I think this is probably the coolest-looking thing I've seen in this magazine so far.
Yeah, well, it was a low bar. For Daredevil to leap.
That says pow. That is a pork.
It says palm.
Oh, palm.
Look at
pork
that.
It is says not palm. Sound
it's Daredevil is throwing a punch, and the sound effect
is P-O-M.
Is palm. What happened there?
I don't know.
Why did it say palm?
Well, the deal was that you couldn't use the actual sound effect words.
Do you think this was edited for Dynamite magazine?
Yes.
In the comic book, it said pow.
Right.
And then a Dynamite, no, that's way too violent. We better change that to palm.
Palm.
That must be what happened. All right, now we come to Bummers. This is a Dynamite institution.
Yes.
Bummers. These were the ongoing series of little cartoons, and this was reader submissions. The reader would send in an idea. And Bummers is just something that makes you miserable.
Yeah.
And then Dynamite would
make a cartoon of it.
A Dynamite artist would illustrate it. But then you get credit. You'd see your name in the magazine if it was your suggestion.
I used to love these.
For example, Gary Mendenhall of Verdon, Illinois writes, "Don't you hate going camping and finding out you left your tent at home?"
Aww.
Well, sure, but did that ever happen? Most of these are so ridiculous
that
I don't think they've ever happened. Don't you hate warm milk on your cold cereal?
I didn't know that was a thing. Usually the milk
That's
is
what
cold
I'm saying.
And the cereal isn't.
Yeah.
How did the cereal get cold?
So many. These are raising way more questions than they're answering.
Right. Don't you hate it when somebody sticks their arm all the way down your throat?
So we have a dentist here.
Oh, again, okay, that's
again,
what's going on.
Did this ever happen? Don't you hate when you're at the dentist having a cavity filled and he deadens the wrong side of your mouth? And finally we have, you might relate to this one, Cornflake. It says, don't you hate when the only one who will listen to you is the dog?
Aww.
Although in the picture, I don't think the dog is even listening.
No, that dog is definitely not listening.
But that's bummers, and that's like a classic Dynamite feature. They made a whole books of it. I have a Dynamite book of bummers.
Ooh.
Yeah. And now we have Dynamite Flips for Gymnastics.
That's cool.
An interview with a 14-year-old gymnast here. And then this page teaches you how to do a gymnastics move called the walkover.
That is not as easy as they're making it look.
This is more impossible than Wanda's magic trick.
Yes.
This girl is completely folding herself in half.
You have to be a contortionist.
Yeah, that's insane. Who knows how many kids in the 70s reading Dynamite ended up in the hospital because they tried to follow these instructions.
That pose alone is a recipe for a faceplant.
Very dangerous.
And I did walkovers as a kid. They never looked
You could do this?
Face. Yeah.
Wow. I could never do that.
All right, so here's the trick.
Are you going to do one right now?
If you ever... Okay, here's what I need. What I need is a fence, like a chain link fence.
Is this how you broke out of prison?
Yes.
Okay. This girl is doing something I thought like only insects could do.
You would not believe how much time I spent trying to do what she's doing in that picture.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you survived. All right, next we have Count Morbido's monthly puzzle pages. This is two pages of like little word puzzles and stuff, but hosted by some kind of a freaky pink vampire.
I like the pink vampire.
Kind of looks like Count Chocula, but has the complexion of Frankenberry.
I think he looks like the Count from Sesame Street.
Yes, absolutely. Now we have Good Vibrations. This is like an advice column where theoretically children are writing in with their problems.
Uh-huh.
And then Dynamite Magazine solves all your problems. Now, I read through this page before we started the show, and I have my doubts about if these are real letters from real kids or not. Because... this seems like the editor just wrote these to fill the page. One is about a kid who was adopted. The kid's asking if their parents really love them.
Aww.
Yeah, which is, you know, heartbreaking if that's a real question. But
it's also the stuff of TV movies.
Yeah, this smacks of the editor needs to fill the page somehow. Then we have, sometimes when I'm alone, I pretend I'm with a friend and I start talking to myself. Do most people talk to themselves or do I have a problem?
That's legit.
You think that's a real letter?
I wrote that.
Oh, that's you. Okay. Anyway, the editor says, yes, you have a big problem. You're frightening. Please stop reading our magazine, you freak. Wow, very harsh.
I've heard worse.
And then we have a Dynamite contest. I hope it's not too late to enter. They're having a celebrity lookalike contest. You're supposed to like dress up like a celebrity that you think you resemble and take a picture and send it to Dynamite.
Okay, I'm going to enter. How about you?
Absolutely, we should enter this thing.
Who are you going to dress up as?
Well, we have to figure this out. Here's what they suggest. It says, who do you look like? Cher?
Nope.
Fonzie?
Nope.
Jimmy Walker?
Nope.
Now, they were big fans of Jimmy Walker over Dynamite because that was his catchphrase, was Dynamite.
Right.
You know? Edith Bunker?
Maybe.
Or maybe, it says this, or maybe the whole Walton family. Do you look like all the Waltons?
All at once?
All of them. Those are the celebrities they suggest.
I think if they had asked this in the 80s, yeah. I think I probably could have dressed up as Mindy Kaling.
Mindy Kaling from Facts of Life?
Yeah.
That'd be good. Like the Eastland uniform
you'd
go with? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. That's what I'm thinking.
What about you?
You would have won. I'd be Tootie. We could go together.
Awesome.
All right. Okay, well, let's get our costumes together, and we can submit our entry. What do you win?
Eastland represent.
You can win a Kodak Instamatic camera and a guest appearance in Dynamite. All right, forget it. I don't want to enter this anymore.
I want that camera.
That actually does sound good. I think that takes us to about the end of the book. They actually plug some other books from the Arrow Book Club in the back cover here. There was a book about Jimmy Walker. Speaking of Jimmy Walker, a whole book about Jimmy Walker was available through the Arrow Book Club. We should get that.
Yeah, we should.
So that's Dynamite, Cornflake. That's Dynamite number 22 from 1976.
Sweet. That takes us back.
That was Dynamite, and, you know, that was kind of fun, right?
It was.
Well, we have like 50 more of these
Great.
On reserve, so we'll have to dip back into our big pile of Dynamites on a future show.
I can't wait to see what else they covered.
We'll do it again, but how about for this week, let's wrap up.
On the internet, you'll find the Flopcast. We've got our website, it's flopcast.net, and we're on Twitter, our handle is @Flopcast, and there's always Instagram, the_Flopcast, and facebook.com/Flopcast2.
So many options to find us on the stupid internet. Well, Cornflake, I'm sure that all of our listeners right now are just squishing up against each other so they can see one big eye.
Upside down.
And that'll keep you occupied.
Flipping over.
For the next week, and we'll meet up back here next time.
Peace and cookies.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And we're going to watch every episode of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Every episode?
Every single one.
In order?
From an unearthly child to, you know, the future. And we're going to do it in a podcast that we call...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
WatchYourRassilon.com. And we're also a part of the ESO Network. So check us out or whatever.
Please.
Stay Rassil Awesome.
Stop trying to make Rassil Awesome a thing.
Nope.
Okay, Cornflake. Today's secret after show is the
Mixtape March.
This is the conclusion of Mixtape March, yes.
Halfway through April.
Getting deep into April as we conclude Mixtape March. We had to break it up because the secret after show has to be very short, you know. I have here the 10 songs that you provided to me. You picked out 10 songs that you thought I would like and that I did not know. I took them. I listened to them. I heard them all at least a couple of times. With one exception, there's one of them I only listened to once.
Okay, so that one's probably not a favorite.
And I thought I did not have to hear this ever again. And that was, let me find it on the list here, that was Tally Hall.
Oh. The one with the singing chickens.
That was the people making chicken noises.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I get why you included it. But not something I would seek out ever again.
But now you know it exists.
Yeah. There were a few of these that I can't say I particularly cared for. Not to say that they were bad, but maybe not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Motblue Band, a song called Inspired by No One.
Mm.
I remember that you were a fan, and you've seen Ryan Motblue live, right?
Yeah.
So this might be a live thing.
Yeah.
I'll bet I would enjoy Ryan Motblue live.
Yeah, studio version might sound a bit forced.
Oh, Dr. Dog? Who I walked out on?
Yeah.
Now, in Dr. Dog's defense, I didn't even hear Dr. Dog that day. We left the Cider Festival before Dr. Dog was even on stage. But I just assumed Dr. Dog was like a Vermont hippie jam band,
mm-hmm.
like Fish. Which, I don't know, maybe they are. I've only heard this one song. It was sort of goofy, theatrical kind of sounding song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that representative of Dr. Dog? It is. Okay. I think I made the right call in Vermont.
Good. Now you know for sure.
I know Dr. Dog has its fans because I know that that festival sold out and we saw online that there were Dr. Dog fans just trying to score tickets to get in.
See, that part I didn't know.
Yeah, how about that? What's up with Michael Klemm?
He had Fillmore Hall.
Yeah. It's a very elaborate song story. It's even talking it for a good chunk of it. He's just telling the story, and then it devolves into a bizarre horn solo.
Yes.
Okay, so that was that. And all right, then we had a string of people that you saw at MarsCon.
Yes.
Right, so of course we want to acknowledge them. Mark with a C, who I know is a real favorite of yours, with a song called Celebutants. And yeah, that was nice. That sounded good. Very well produced.
Yes.
Right? Well produced stuff. And that was funny. And we had the Faithful Sidekicks. Now, I listened to this this song by the Faithful Sidekicks called The Other Guys. And I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I got through the whole song. And it's way towards the end of the song where they mention Mystery Men.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remembered that you had told me this was a song about Mystery Men, like the movie.
Ah.
Like the characters from the superhero movie from 1999, which I did see way back then, but I just forgot that that's what it was about, and I didn't know what they were talking about through the whole song.
Until, oh, wow.
Until I got to that, and I was like, oh, that's right, it's Mystery Men, okay. Then I listened to it again.
And it made sense.
It made a little more sense after that. That was Faithful Sidekicks. And then the other MarsCon act was Brentalfloss. And the Brentalfloss song that you selected for me, I was shocked to immediately realize when the piano solo kicks the thing off, that was a parody of Sister Christian.
Yes.
By Night Ranger, who, of course, I'm a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
That song is called Mushroom Kingdom.
And it's about Super Mario, which I know is not so much your thing.
Yeah. For me, the song suffered from I don't know the game. So I was not appreciating it on the level, perhaps, of someone who knows the game. But it was definitely a Night Ranger parody.
Yep.
I got that part.
Good.
Right away. Now, there was Paper Raincoat.
Yes.
That's the band, right? Paper Raincoat. The song was Rough Cut. That sounded good. That was nice.
I thought you would like
that. That was pleasant. And similar, I thought, to another song that was on the list. And that was Postal Service.
Yes.
That was the band called Postal Service with We Will Become Silhouettes. They sounded a little similar, although Postal Service definitely more synth poppy.
Yeah.
And that was nice. I like that one. They reminded me of a synth pop band called Oppenheimer. Which is do you know Oppenheimer?
Yes.
An Irish duo.
Well, I know that because people told me that Oppenheimer sounds like Postal Service. Oh, so I checked them out.
So I got that right then.
Yes.
And finally, I think my favorite song of the bunch was The Bell Brigade.
Oh, yeah.
With Where Not to Look for Freedom.
They are a brother and sister duo.
Oh, wow. Okay. The verse parts of it really sounded 70s folk rocky to me.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Yeah, that was cool. That was probably my favorite.
Well, I'm glad you found something you liked on the list.
Yeah, so a lot of range.
Yeah.
There was some I didn't particularly care for, and some I'm kind of mediocre on, and some that I quite enjoyed.
I didn't totally follow the spirit of mixtape merch. Some of these I put in here specifically for exploration purposes.
Some of these I felt like, you're not necessarily expecting me to like this. You just want me to experience this.
Yes.
And this is the only way you're ever going to get me to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm on you. This whole thing was a trick.
No, not all of it. I was hoping you would like at least one or two of these.
Well, I certainly did.
Your musical tastes are very finely crafted. You look at somebody like me, and I just like all kinds of things, and I just easily like things. Whereas you...
I like Wang Chung.
I was about to say you've got a real taste for talent.
Yeah, and I just said I like Wang Chung. Yeah.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.